Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, what happened? It was like 100 yesterday, and now it's like 50 and raining. It's a weird day out there, but then it's supposed to stop, I think, tomorrow morning. We got lots to get to. Who's going to survive this impeachment stuff? Who's going to get wiped out by this? We'll take a look at that. What's happening with the stock market? The Dow dropping. This is the second. The drop yesterday was caused by one thing. The manufacturing number came in low. They were looking for the service sector number to be up today. It's down for September. So, market down again.
1,000 points in 3 days.
Yeah, 1,000 points in 3 days. It's those two numbers, manufacturing sector, service sector. I don't know what it is. You know, sometimes it could just be a correction, which you need as you keep going up and up and up and up and up. So I heard Charlie Gasparino this morning saying, buying opportunity, right? Not now. Wait. Hold on. Don't try to catch a falling knife, as they say. Wait. There could be a big buying opportunity coming up. So it's heating up. Joe Biden came out swinging. Well, wasn't exactly swinging. What did he say? He will not sit back and...
You're not going to destroy me, and you're not going to destroy my family. I don't care how much money you spend, Mr. President, or how dirty the attacks get.
Well, I don't know. How could you destroy Hunter Biden? I mean, what more could you do? The guy, drug addict, thrown out of the military, sleeping with his brother's widow, caught with a crack pipe. I mean, how much more could you do?
It could get worse, I guess.
Check out my, I think I have it up on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. It's the best meme that was going around yesterday. It shows Mike Pence's son and Hunter Biden with Joe Biden. It shows the two vice presidents with their kids. And it points out for Hunter, he was getting $50,000 a month for a no-show job with no experience. And then with Pence's son, he's getting $50,000 a year to be a military pilot, and he had to go through 2 years of intensive training to get this. So it shows you the difference between these two guys. It's really interesting. I don't know where I think Biden's. What do you think he's doing? Deluding himself, or he's saying, "I got one shot to stay in this. I better come out now. I'm circling the drain and about to go down it. I better fight now."
He's got to proclaim his innocence.
Yeah, he just realizes if he's got any shot, he's got to fight back right now.
I'll put my integrity of my whole career of public service to this nation up against his long record of lying, cheating, and stealing any day of the week.
All right, but here's the problem. Biden's got an incredible track record of lying from all of the plagiarism scandals. Remember his plagiarism scandal that knocked him out of the 88 race?
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a long apology, which got published, and it turned out he had plagiarized the apology. And then, remember, I mean, it's the long history of lying. Remember the Sarah Palin debates where, at one point, he started telling the story about the working men that he has breakfast with every morning in the diner, and he started to cry almost as he described what it was like in the diner every morning with these guys. Well, the reporters found out there was no diner. He'd never been to a diner. There was no diner. He lives in an enormous mansion. There's no diner anywhere. Remember he told that story about going to Home Depot every morning? They found out there was no Home Depot even in his state. I mean, he's been caught lying a million times. So when it comes to lying, he's the all-time. He's Babe Ruth. Nobody's going to beat him on that. Integrity, money, stealing? I don't know. Donald Trump, I don't think, has he ever been accused of stealing, Donald Trump?
No, not that I know.
Now, in the case of Biden, the family is definitely taking money. They're getting payoffs and everything. You could argue that it's totally legal. You know, there's no law that you can't hire if you want influence with the vice president of the United States. Believe it or not, there's no law that you can't put his kid on the payroll for millions of dollars and get influence that way. It's not illegal. Now, there is, and this is where Biden could have a problem. This is very funny. There's a thing, as an actual thing called the U.S. Government Office of Ethics.
Yeah, really? They have one? Yeah. Like one person?
No. This is government, so it's like 15,000 employees. It's the U.S. Government Office of Ethics. And in their rules and regulations for office holders, they cannot not only have any conflicts of interest, they can't even have the appearance of a conflict of interest.
No, this doesn't appear a conflict. So, it doesn't appear as a conflict at all to me.
So as Biden was put in charge of Ukraine, Obama said he'll be the point man. He'll be the guy running things with Ukraine. This sleazy Ukraine oil company puts Hunter Biden on the payroll for $50,000 a month. There's also a $3 million payment. They figure it was a total of $8 million the kid took out. And the payments were laundered. They went through Latvia and then Croatia and then to Biden to get his name off the payments. But it's not technically illegal, believe it or not. So that's why these fake news guys, these Lester Holtz and Chuck Todds, they'll keep you on. It's all been debunked. It's been debunked. This has been debunked in the New York Times. And they'll keep saying there was no wrongdoing with Hunter Biden. There's absolutely no wrongdoing. Well, that's not true. There was tremendous wrongdoing. I think anybody, any normal person hearing all this is going to say this is wrongdoing. Now, you could say there's technically no crime here. There's technically nothing criminal about this. So that's true.
It's not wrongdoing. It's just wrong.
You ever go into like a private club, a country club, where it says when there's a little sign there, no tipping permitted.
Right.
But there's guys handing the maitre d' 20, 50 all the time. Now, that's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. It's against the rules. But technically, you haven't committed a crime. There's no criminal nothing. There's technically no wrongdoing.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
All right. So, I think if you really go through, Pelosi made a little noise yesterday about they're not definitely going to impeach. Did you hear that little?
I did. What was that all about? She sort of hedging?
I think they got all their, apparently they've hired an army of lawyers, legal experts, all kinds of people. They're going over. What you do is you run through the trial. You war game the trial to see what would come up. And I think they're starting to see that they would be doing a lot of damage, not only to Biden, but to themselves. If this becomes the issue, and this is what it will all be about, should these politicians be able to put their relatives on the payrolls of corporations for millions of dollars? And as we keep pointing out, I don't think they want that looked at. As they would say, they have business with Hyman Roth and they don't want it disturbed. So it may be a practical decision that they have to make to back off this.
How do you do that?
They'll just find that they can't bring the charges at this time. They'll just delay and stall. And the other thing is, well, what is Trump accused of besides looking at Biden? The main thing, if you go, and that's the other problem, if you start to go over this phone call, Biden is just something he threw in at the end. The main point of this was he wants to look into the 2016 election. Was there tampering coming out of the Ukraine? And he's trying to get to the bottom of how did that Russia hoax begin? Pretty obvious now. There was do you remember at one time people believed that Donald Trump colluded with Russia? That he and Putin or somebody were colluding?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
they actually believed
that was
this.
The charge.
You know, clearly that was total fiction. It's a ridiculous claim. Donald Trump colluding with Russia. it didn't make it. So looking back on that, he's trying to get to the bottom of what happened. Who came up with that? Who started that? So I think they're all starting to realize maybe they don't want that really coming out. You know, because people will start to say, yeah, let's get to the bottom of that. You know, he's not wrong. Let's investigate that. But the charge would be you can't ask other countries to help in an investigation or do the investigating for you. Well, of course you can. We do it all the time. Mueller did it 13 times. When Mueller was doing his report, 13 times he went to another country and asked them to investigate or provide evidence. They do it all the time. Remember last year, the Khashoggi killing? Democrats were demanding that the president go to the Saudi Arabian leaders and demand they investigate for us.
Well, I mean, this is trying to use a foreign government to influence the election.
I don't know if you could argue that because he's got 10 people up against him and he's got lots of political opponents, Nadler, Schiff, all these people, Brennan. He's got guys working. He never asked to investigate them. The only person he asked about was a guy who confessed on video to doing something horrible. That's Trump's words in the tape of the recording. You know, you've seen the Biden video
where
Biden threatens the Ukraine, bullies them, tells them you better fire that prosecutor. I mean, it's a real Michael Corleone kind of threat to them. You're not getting $1 billion. And he tells the whole story. The Ukrainians say, you can't do that. You're not the president. Yeah? Call him and see. You're not getting that money. Just like Michael Corleone in Godfather 2. Biden says, my plane leaves in 6 hours. If the money's not there, one of those guys. So, on the recording of the phone call, the transcript, the president says, we've seen this video. It sounds horrible. Could you look into that? So if somebody's done something horrible and there's a video of it, you could have that looked into.
And the other thing, too, it was kind of an aside in the phone call. Everybody's making it out of like they called the president of Ukraine to investigate Biden.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an unfair description of the call.
Yeah, you got two things. One, they keep lying. They keep saying, he said, can you do us a favor? Can you investigate Joe Biden? That's not what he said. Can you do us a favor? We want to look into election tampering 2016. It goes on and on and on. And then much later, for 7 seconds, he mentions Biden. He just threw that in at the end. So obviously it was of little importance. Otherwise, it would have been in the body of the request. It was just thrown in as an afterthought at the end. So, and you also, you've got a whole Justice Department that could look at Biden. I mean, who knows? Maybe they should. Maybe they are. Look at this Hunter Biden and all this money. So, and here's the other thing. If what Trump did was so wrong, when Adam Schiff opened the hearings, why didn't he just read the transcript? Instead, he made up this whole fake, stupid conversation that never took place. He made up a fake conversation. Like, you don't do this, you know what's good for you. And he went through this. He said later, I was just doing a parody. But, and that's the question that they'll, if they go to hearings, Schiff will have to go under oath. By the way, there's talk of Rudy Giuliani mentioned it last night, so I guess it's okay to say now. There's talk of suing Adam Schiff. He may be sued and put under oath.
Well, I saw him on Lou Dobbs talking about that.
Yeah.
Because he made those accusations in public, not on the House floor.
Exactly. And he may, under oath, have to answer the question, if what he did was so wrong, why didn't you just read it as is? Why didn't you just quote his own words instead of making up stuff, if you thought it was so bad?
Yeah.
What does he say? I was doing a parody. You can't keep using that that explanation. New York Post, excellent column with Michael Goodwin. He called the president yesterday and got a 20-minute conversation with him. The president said, no war room. We don't need a war room.
Yeah.
He's like Scarface Day. He goes, I am my own war room. I am a war room. We don't need one.
I think he could use a little bit of advice on this thing.
Oh, he's got plenty of advice. Don't forget, he's got the greatest lawyers in the world. You know, there's all these Mark Kasowitz types here in New York. He's on the phone with them getting guidance and finding out what to do. Now, you have to remember, there are people that just hate Donald Trump. Not now, but from the beginning. He just rubs them the wrong way. They go ballistic when you mention Donald Trump. There's a bunch of them. I know a lot of them. Judge Napolitano is a great guy, very smart guy. Love Judge Napolitano, but he's one of those guys. And I never asked him what it was, but from the beginning, oh, does he hate Trump?
He's off the deep end on this, I know.
Yeah, he's a good guy, but he hates Donald Trump. It's nothing to do with now. You could have said this 2 years ago. You mentioned Donald Trump, he'd start huffing and puffing. And even Charlie Gasparino, he's not the biggest Donald Trump fan, although he's pretty fair. But some of these people, oh, they just... So when you see the judge, it's this criminal, it's definitely... He might be a little carried away with his Trump hatred. There's a lot of people like that that...
There are a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
You got to worry. I mean, that, you know, that's going to impact the election. Even people who voted for him, you know, say, oh, my God, he's worse than I thought he could be.
No, this is what we thought. He was always
maybe
like this.
You thought. I don't know about the average American.
If you'll remember, before he started his presidential campaign, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I'm sure you can find them online. He used to do, this was kind of way ahead of his time, years ago, he used to do these little video things, a one-minute video every morning from his office, sitting at his desk.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was 30 seconds, and he'd put them out. I'm trying to remember where. Where did you put things out? It was like almost pre-Instagram. He started putting them out on Twitter and wherever. And sometimes they'd run them on the news. He'd be talking about Rosie O'Donnell, or he'd be talking about this or that. But go back and watch those. Everything you've seen now is everything he did in the videos. He made the same kind of comments, same insults, same stuff. He's been doing this all along. Go back and read The Art of the Deal. Everything you're seeing now is in that book. He explains how he does it and why he does it. So, good news. Bernie Sanders looks like he's going to recover.
That's
Everything's
good,
fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we hope he has a very full, very speedy recovery. And we hope Bernie realizes that, thank God, he didn't have that heart problem in a socialist country. We would be reading you his obituary this morning. Thank God he was in Las Vegas, which is the most capitalist place on the face of the earth. And what does that mean when you're the most capitalist place? It means you got great hospitals. It means you got very wealthy people making donations. You got a Steve Wynn Heart Center. You got all that stuff there. And thank God Bernie Sanders was in a capitalist place with great health care. Can you imagine if he was in a socialist country waiting? They told you 8 months from now.
We'll get
you to a doctor.
We'll take a look at that next week.
Yes, we have a Cuban-made stent. We'll be able to put it in next year, early next year. We'll rush it. January, we'll put it in. So everything looks good with him. He's not going to come back in the race.
I don't think so, no.
So here's the problem. All of his voters go to Elizabeth Warren, which puts him way ahead, puts her way ahead of Joe Biden. Although people see, keep an eye on Buttigieg, keep an eye on Andrew Yang. These two guys are colorful. They could do something in the next debate. Kamala Harris going no place, absolutely no place. No personality, dreary, boring, depressing woman. But keep an eye on Andrew Yang.
He is an interesting kind of a candidate.
Yeah.
He'd be out there. It wouldn't be like a normal political hack.
Yeah, and also remember, in almost every election, the Democratic candidate, whoever got the nomination, was like in single digits at this point. Front runners at this point never get it. Ask Paul Tsongas, Edmund Muskie. Whoever's the front runner now never gets it. So, anyway, we've got lots to get to. Check out the webpage, some great stuff up there. With that little Greta, what's her name, Thunberg?
Yeah.
The little United Nations kid. And you see, she was yelling and screaming. Watch her meet with President Obama. And you see why Obama was a great politician. Watch him play her like a fiddle. He is just appeasing her, placating her. Watch this little meeting. He's not going to do anything she's talking about. He's not going to lift one finger to get anything done. But watch him act like he's going to do everything. He's just all talk. Watch her fall for it, this poor kid. And then, here's a little ABC News story on Biden family corruption. This is pretty good. And in this piece, they actually corner Biden and try to ask him about it. Watch Biden literally run down the street to get away from the reporter. Also, how would you really annoy Robert De Niro in 1 second if you were the director? Watch this. Watch De Niro blow up at the little junior director there. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mr. New York, Mark Simone. On 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. What film do you want to see? Right? If you could go see any movie right now. You want to see The Joker? I don't know. I mean, I keep reading all these stories about that. They're worried about shootings and theaters, extra security. I mean, I'd be terrified to go see The Joker right now. The Irishman, I would love to see that. Doesn't open till November. It's a Netflix movie, and it'll be on Netflix. But to qualify for Oscars, they have to run it in a theater first. So for 2 weeks, it'll be in a theater. I have a feeling it's going to be totally sold out and packed in every theater because a lot of people want to see that on a big screen, not on their television. Although, you go to the movie theater and there's no more big screens. There's no more, in Manhattan, there isn't any more big single screen theater. The last one was the Paris Theater. That closed, the Ziegfeld. So now you got all these little screens. I mean, you can get an 82-inch television at home. It's probably bigger than the movie theater screen. A lot of people don't understand this Netflix business model. Nobody in Hollywood would fund The Irishman because with all that anti-de-aging technology, it came to about $156 million, $160 million. Nobody wanted to pay for this. So Netflix stepped up, just wrote a check for $160 million. To them, it's nothing. But how do you make money on that? Can you sell enough subscriptions based on this? How do you follow that up with anything? Anyway, let's go to Stephen in Long Island. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Listen, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous, a little worried that the Democrats, what they're doing is going to work. And I'll tell you why. I talked to a lot of people about...
And why do you think it'll work?
I'll tell you. Because
you got to tell us now. Why do you think it'll work?
Okay. Because a lot of people, even though they might support Trump, they just don't want to deal with the drama anymore. They just feel like...
Yeah, well, there's that argument that the fatigue factor, it's too much, the fatigue. But I think a lot of people in America are starting to realize, wait a minute, Trump is not the fatigue. It's the Democrats. It's the Adam Schiffs. It's the Nadlers. That's the fatigue. It's the news media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, this constant trying to tear Trump down. That's where the fatigue is from. Where's the fatigue from Trump? The tweets? Those are pretty funny. Those are pretty entertaining. Those are pretty amusing. But it's the other side, the Democrats, where it's just rage, hatred, fake charges, fake news, trying to take them down. That may be where the fatigue kicks in. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Good morning. Yesterday morning, the stock market was down apparently because of the manufacturers' purchasing index from the day before.
Yes.
Wasn't what they expected. Then, once the market heard that Bernie Sanders was having chest pains and had to be rushed to the hospital, the market started going in the toilet. And I don't think it's because of the news today. I think it's because the market's really afraid that fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren, may get the nomination, because Bernie cannot do this. Because usually if you have two stents in, that's a problem. I've known people that they had to go back and have another couple more, and then eventually they crack your chest because the damage is just too far gone.
Oh, you've cracked a few chests, right?
Well, not chests, maybe.
All right.
But anyway, that's what I think is going on, that the market's afraid of Elizabeth Warren, and that's why.
Well, I would think, you know, they would always be afraid of her, but I don't think they think she has any chance. No, it's the manufacturing number yesterday, and then the hope today was that the service sector number would be up, and that would make up for the dip in manufacturing.
Well,
but that number turned out to be down, too.
I think that may be a good thing that service sector is down, because people are getting real jobs rather than flipping hamburgers in McDonald's.
Well, no, real jobs. The service sector can mean all kinds of things. Cops, nurses, all that stuff.
Okay, well, yeah, all right.
Even what you do is a service of some kind.
Exactly. It's a service. We provide...
we don't want to know what the hell you provide.
Financial investments.
Yeah, financial investments.
Financial investments, Mark.
Yeah, and I'm sure you provide all kinds of things.
Exactly. No interest loans, stuff like that.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling. You know, everything, you know, when you say the services sector, you know that place Bob Kraft goes? That's the services sector. Very good services.
It's a service.
Let's go to John in Smithtown. Hey, John.
How's it going, Mark?
Good.
First of all, I agree with you with the fatigue. It's not on Trump. It's definitely on Shiftless Shift and others. But I called because you weren't sure why Judge Napolitano doesn't like Trump.
Yeah.
It's real simple. Early on, he requested to be considered for a Supreme Court judge.
I don't think that's true.
Donald Trump said...
No, I don't think that's true.
You don't think it's true?
No, that was a rumor that went around. Now, first of all, I don't think he would want to be a Supreme Court judge. Nothing indicates he ever wanted that. Also, I don't think legally he's the... What kind of judge was he? Was like a probate judge in New Jersey or something? I don't know if he's got the kind of qualifications for the Supreme Court. I mean, he's a good guy, smart guy, but no, there's always... I don't know why. I've never asked him. I'm going to ask him one day. But it's too late now. You know, you ask the guy 2 years later, 3 years later, why do you hate him so much? By now, it's a million different explanations. Judge Napolitano is a very sweet guy, very nice guy. Very well-mannered guy. Sometimes, you know, people are just offended by the manner of Trump. They don't like people like that are so brash and bold and just blurt out things. And some people, you know, just, that rubs them the wrong way.
A lot of people.
Yeah, well, not a lot of people.
I mean, a lot of people.
Well, you can't say a lot of people. Yeah, there are, okay, a lot of people, but not, you make it sound like the majority of people. Remember, the guy is the president of the United States. He had the number one show on television first time out for 14 seasons. He got himself elected president. Somebody must like him.
The thing is that people are not used to the president of the United States sitting there at the White House calling another congressman shifty or crooks. I mean, they you know, normally presidents would not talk like that.
Exactly. So for many people, this is great. This is refreshing. No filter. Say what you really think. It's like you're on truth serum.
Yeah.
Some people love that. Other people will hate that. They want the old-fashioned, put on a front.
Yeah, be phony.
Like they like Obama, the way he handled Twitter. Wishing all of our veterans a happy Veterans Day. They think that's all you do on Twitter. That's it. Anyway, when we come back, Lionel will be with us. Let's see what he has to say about all this. Coming up on 710 WOR.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Lionel, of course, radio, TV host, and YouTube star. It's Lionel Nation at YouTube. Also, this Saturday night, he's going to be at the Cutting Room. I love that place. One of the nicest clubs in the city. And Lionel does a great show, very funny, and always sells out. So if you want to get tickets, do it right now. He'll be at the Cutting Room this Saturday night. Lionel, how you doing?
Three scenarios intrigue me. regarding this impeachment. Work with me through this. The first one you alluded to, Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats decide not to impeach for a variety of reasons. Why? During the Nixon impeachment, everybody understood the essence of it. As we say, the gravamen. This is obstruction of justice, breaking in.
I should
in.
Point out, he's also a lawyer and a prosecutor. But
indeed. Yeah. And rather heuristic when I have to be. So anyway, there's Nixon. Nobody scratched their head and said, what did he do exactly? Then 98, of course, we have Clinton, who played hide the panatilla with the berate Bellatrix, and there you go with that. Nobody, again, scratched their head and said, tell me again what he lied about the... Okay, now we have something which I don't even understand yet. In its best, in a light most favorable to the Democrats, what it is that Trump did in its worst conceivable scenario. So I suspect, very good chance, Nancy Pelosi and others may say, you know what, for the good of the country, they just forget to proceed. Option number two, this is my favorite. Well, second favorite. Mitch McConnell decides to do something which is very interesting. Mark, under the Constitution, under Article 1, which deals with impeachment, there is no provision, repeat, there is no requirement that they even have an impeachment trial. In criminal law, because remember, impeachment has nothing to do with the law. This is not, there is no Supreme Court you can go to. There are no rules. It is a political process, like a homeowners association, a condo board, whatever, pretty much whatever they want to do. But what's interesting is that there is nothing that says he has to do anything. He could table it. He could provide it to a committee. It could, does the name Merrick Garland come to mind?
Yeah.
But the third possibility, this is my favorite. In 1998, Robert Byrd, the dean and the historian of the Senate, suggested, Mark, that he wanted to conduct a motion to dismiss where the Senate, as a trier of fact and the law, would review the actual legal or political or constitutional sufficiency of the impeachment. Now, since they were the minority, it never happened. But since the Republicans are the majority now in the Senate, imagine if they said, we will take this up. Mitch McConnell does it. But first, we want to deal with the adequacy, the legal sufficiency, like we say in law, a motion to dismiss for failure to state a cause of action. What is this? Never before done. Work with me on this. Let's assume the Senate says, okay, we'll take this up kind of as a trial court. We dismiss the impeachment. Therefore, it goes back as never having occurred.
Oh, interesting.
Like an arrest. You're arrested, but later on your charges are thrown out. And you could say that case was thrown out. Nobody ever said.
Okay, but two problems. One, yeah. I don't know if I trust these Republicans in the swamp to stand up for Trump. And two, wouldn't that look awfully fishy to most of the country?
Oh, absolutely. But it was going to be done then because remember, there are no rules. See, because I was of the belief that anything, kind of like Gerald Ford's old line, anything that the majority rules on is sufficient to impeach. Not necessarily. Now let's go to the next one. Remember, Joe Biden now, there's a great line from that great American show, the movie Jack Reacher, where Tom Cruise, before killing somebody in a fight, said, remember, you wanted this. Now, Biden was, everybody forgot about the Ukrainian business. And by the way, why people call Ukraine the Ukraine, I have no idea. It's like the Italy, the Spain. I don't know why it's the Ukraine. But anyway, so all of a sudden now, because of all of the things, thank God they abandoned the emoluments clause, which of course is pronounced emollient to most people, this one at least makes a little more sense. Joe Biden is now saying, of all the stuff you brought up, this is what we did. Now, work with me on this. Do you think, Mark, the statute of limitations is over regarding any criminal activity on the part of Joe and or Biden? You see, conspiracies are weird because they keep continuing. And through this concept called novation. You hear it in contract law. But, like, conspiracies become, they extend, and they branch out. And did anybody ever talk to Hunter Biden or Joe, maybe an FBI agent or somebody, that 18 U.S.C. 1001, that classic process crime perjury? Don't be surprised, because for the first time you've got Barr, you've got Pompeo, everybody's involved in this. Don't be surprised if Joe Biden does not find himself in, believe it or not, this is completely reasonable, criminal liability. And finally...
Well, what criminal liability?
Because of what he did. Because of... I promise you, he lied to somebody.
Ah.
I promise you that the terms of the deal, the way monies were transferred, I promise you, there is a banking regulation, there is something under Title 18. Believe me, you can't break wind in an elevator without having an indictment worthy. But here's the last point.
Yeah.
This business about the whistleblower is a complete waste of time. It's interesting. It's nice. Mark, there's no exclusionary rule to impeachment. If you say, and did you realize this man never heard anything? Great. Terrific. Guess what? We're already here. It's a very good political argument. I like that. But too much time is being focused on that.
Yeah. We're out of time, but Saturday night you'll be at the Cutting Room. What are you going to be doing at the Cutting Room?
I'm going to be doing Outspoken Word and my bluegrass trio, singing songs that you cannot believe to the immaculate twang of Mother Bluegrass. Topical songs, crowd favorites, sing-alongs. They laugh, they cry. Mark, I can't thank you enough.
I like that place.
Very, very pro-Trump. Show.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
And we love that Cutting Room. That's the nicest club in the city. That's why we do our WOR live events there. Beautiful stage, got a great bar.
Fabled. So where Chappelle goes, Chappelle one time came after me one time, didn't draw the same crowd, but, you know, the kids break it in. What are you going to do?
But it's a beautiful place if you haven't been there. It's on 32nd between Park and Madison. Lionel will be at the Cutting Room this Saturday night. Go see him. What do people do to get tickets? Just cuttingroom.com or something?
You go to LionelMedia.com. I've got all the information. Or Lionel Media on Twitter. I've got all the information right there.
All right, LionelMedia.com. Lionel, thanks for being with us.
My good friend, thank you so much, Mark.
All right, take care. We got some breaking news. Let me just, this is what's coming over. Apparently, Robert De Niro about to be hit with a big Me Too lawsuit. A longtime former employee is... suing. Now, you never know in a lawsuit, is it real, is it not real, but apparently she's claiming to have some kind of audio, some kind of recordings or something. So this is just breaking. We'll follow up on this. De Niro being hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit from a longtime employee. We'll stay on top of this for you throughout the program. It just broke. Check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Now watch this. This is ABC News doing a little news story on Biden family corruption. And at one point, they try to ask Biden, watch him literally run away. It's quite a piece. Now, take a look at this, that Greta Thunberg, you know, the little girl that spoke at the UN, you know, she thinks she hates these politics. She loved Obama, though. But watch this. This is her meeting with Obama. Watch Obama just play her like a fiddle. Just placate her, appease her, yes her to death. He's not going to do anything she's talking about, but he just knows how to talk to her. And watch this, speaking of Robert De Niro. Here he is blowing up at a director because he doesn't like the direction. Take a look at that. It's all on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.